What's up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. We are just 2 days away from pitchers and catchers and Valentine's Day. What's up? It's Francisco Rojas here on Phillies 24/7 Sports Radio 94 WIP Phillies Today on 24/7. And again, like I said, we're just oh so close to spring training. Oh, so close to pitchers and catchers. We're getting there, and we're even closer with baseball season now almost pretty much officially arriving with the Super Bowl going final last night as the Chiefs solidified their dynasty with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid winning their third Super Bowl in about 6 years and back-to-back Super Bowls for the first time since the Patriots in the early 2000s when they beat the Panthers and, unfortunately, your Philadelphia Eagles way back. So, fun show, for you today. We're going to look at the baseball prospectus Pecota projections for this year and where they had the Phillies and some interesting things that I found from the projections. And then we'll do what to expect from a player. And it's a superstar. And if you've been listening, you probably know who the superstar is because I haven't. This is basically the only superstar left. So we're getting there. And then update you on a move the Phillies made yesterday. They did make a move, but maybe not a big one you're thinking of. But they did make a move. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. So Baseball Prospectus does their Pecota projections for the outset of the year every single year. And we're not going to go through all the projections here because this is not a Major League Baseball podcast. This is a Phillies podcast. So I just wanted to stick to where Pecota had the Phillies ranked or where they had them projected in the National League East. And just to preface it here, they had the Braves at basically 101 wins. Phillies in second place at 84 wins. The Mets at 84, pretty much. Miami, the Marlins, in fourth place at 80 wins. And the Nationals at 58 wins. So I'm going to give my three biggest takeaways from these projections. So number one, I mean, it's pretty obvious. The Phillies at 84 wins is pretty preposterous. The Phillies being an 84-win team this year maybe gets you the third wild card. I think the Diamondbacks got in with a third wild card. I mean, if that would mean we get to another World Series. If we replicate what the Diamondbacks did last year as far as getting back to the World Series, cool. But, like, no. This team is not an the point being here, this team is not an 84-win team. This Phillies team should be somewhere in the I haven't given an official prediction on the season yet. We won't do that just yet. We'll do that like later in March, you know, right when we're ramping up for the start of the regular season. 84 wins. They should at least be around somewhere, at the very least, like 89, and at the most, maybe like 93, 94 wins. And I know it can be tough with the Braves in that division. You know, they probably will win 100 wins. You know, they'll probably get 100 wins again. But 84 wins is just ridiculous. And that's disrespectful to this Phillies team that has, you know, on paper, looks like they're going to have one of the best rotations in baseball. You know, one of the best lineups in baseball. And honestly, one of the best bullpens in the National League. Like, if you look at it from, like, top to bottom, the Phillies are a really, really well-rounded team. And to say that the 84 wins is just absolutely ridiculous. Number two, my second takeaway, was actually, like, the Pecota projection sometimes can be, you know, projections from certain websites, from certain outlets, can be kind of crazy. Actually, like, I agree with the rest of the division, actually. Like, I just don't agree with the 84 wins for the Phils. So, actually, like, I can definitely see the Braves winning 101 games. 100 plus wins once again, for sure. That team is so absolutely stacked, especially from a lineup standpoint. I just think their lineup's just that good. I mean, do they put up the same exact numbers that they did last year? Probably not. It's hard to do, but they're still just that good, you know, from a lineup standpoint. And then, like, the rest of the division, like the Mets, I actually think I like the Mets are here at 84 wins. I like them between like 80 and 84 wins. I don't think they're like a bad team. I look at the Mets and I say they can have a solid year this year. They still have talent there. I like them at 84 wins. Miami, and I like Miami too. They're coming off a playoff appearance where the Phillies beat them in the wild card round. Like, I like Miami 80-81 wins. I don't think they're that bad of a team. The Nationals are the ones that are being slated at 58 wins. That's where the Marlins kind of used to be. And no, but I think Miami has a decent team, especially with some of the starting pitching that they have there. And, you know, I do like them at 80 whatever wins they have them here. And then Washington at 58 wins. Like, I'm completely fine with that. They're a rebuilding team. There's really not much to say about Washington. I like them 58 wins. So I actually like the way Pecota and Baseball Prospectus has the standings here, the projected standings for the rest of the division. Like, I am completely fine with that. It was just really about the Phillies and the 84 wins that just didn't make sense to me, and it was just kind of a little bit disrespectful to me. The Phillies should be, you know, at the 90 to 93 win range. So they got it right with the rest of the division. I will give Pecota that. They got it right with the rest of the division. Third takeaway: let's not worry about the division. I think having the Braves at 101 wins, like I said a couple of times here already, yeah, I completely see that. And let's not worry about it. Let's just worry about getting to the dance, getting to the wild card round. That's what the Phillies have done the last couple of years, and it's worked out for them, you know, to a certain extent. So I think let's not worry about this division. I mean, I do think there's a world where maybe the Phils, you know, are competing with the Braves up until September, but let's just not worry about it. Like, if there is a point where we are competing for the division late in the season, that's a different story. But I think that the Phils should just focus on getting, you know, what were they, 90 and 72 last year? They're 92 and 70. I forget which one exactly. I have it actually up here. 90 and 72 last year. They were 90 and 72. So I think getting, you know, maybe a couple more wins than they did last year, just worry about getting that and worry about just really solidifying that number one wild card spot, you know, and having that home field advantage in round one in the wild card, and just do what you did to the Marlins last year, like that type of thing. Like, let's just not worry about the division. If it's a nice surprise, you never know. You don't wish injuries upon anybody, but if the Braves have some injuries, you know, here and there, and maybe they're not living up to what they've lived up to in the last, like, you know, 4 or 5 years, hey, let's grab that division. But I'm saying for right now, you know, heading into spring training and you know, an opening day will be here before you know it, let's just not worry about it. Let's not worry about the division. If it happens, it happens. If it, you know, but let's just worry about what we've done the last couple of years. Let's worry about that, the wild card spot, getting a wild card spot. That's what we as Phillies fans should be worried about. Let's just worry about the division. Braves are still really, really, really good. So yes, those are my three takeaways. Phillies should be at 90 to 93 wins from the Pecota projections. They got it right. The projections got it right with the rest of the NL East. And again, let's just not worry about winning the NL East. Let's not worry about that. So, yes, so there are the Pecota projections and my takeaways from where they had the Phillies. What to expect from a Philadelphia Philly in 2024 continued. We're only a couple more players left. And I wanted to save the superstar. Well, actually, there were a couple superstars I got to in the beginning and scattered throughout. But the man himself, Bryce Harper, had to save him for one of the last guys that I decided to get to here. Bryce is actually coming off a good season. Let's shortly skim through what happened last year. Fastest player to ever come back from Tommy John surgery. No surprise there. It's Bryce Harper. So fastest player to come back from the surgery. Only had 5 home runs through his first 77 games. He was actually, I think he was, his on-base percentage was good, and he was, like, his offensive numbers were, like, solid, but they weren't normal Bryce Harper power numbers. And he only had 5 homers through those first 77 games. But then, come August, he had a Bryce Harper August. 10 homers, OPS over 1,000, and ends up finishing the season with good numbers. It, of course, puts up good numbers in the postseason, especially in the divisional series against the Braves. So he ends up having good numbers in the season. Played some first base, too. Remember that. Ends up playing a first base last couple of months and played good first base, actually. Like, according to Baseball Savant, 3 outs above average. Above average. And then, so, yeah, he actually plays some field there where he was DH for the most part to start the season. But they get him in at first base. So Kyle Schwarber can be the DH because we know how bad defensively he is. And ends up finishing the season 12th in MVP voting and gets a Silver Slugger Award. So Harper ends up with some down ballot MVP votes, just finishes right outside the top 10. So this is what Bryce does. We have 21 homers, 72 RBIs, had a solid batting average and had an on base percentage, I think, a close to 400, or if not, it was like right over it, but you get the picture. So Bryce ends up with a good season coming back from Tommy John. I mean, it's good. It's a good season. 900 OPS to go with that as well. So what to expect from him in 2024? It's an interesting one. I think we should expect, especially, you know, hopefully Bryce is like fully healthy coming into the season now and gets the off season to like kind of, you know, of course he's going to work out and he's going to train, but like also kind of relax a little bit, especially mentally, especially after last year. I think it's fair to expect Bryce Harper this year to return to full form. And I think it's fair to expect him, you know, hopefully, big thing if he can stay healthy, because last couple of years he hasn't been healthy and some of it has been freak stuff, like getting hit in the face, getting hit, you know, I don't know if he got hit in the hand. I know he got hit in the face twice, right? From Snell and what's his face from St. Louis? I can't even think of his name right now, but you know what I'm talking about. So hopefully like this year, Bryce can truly, truly, truly stay healthy. But if he's healthy, it's fair to expect that he's going to be a top five player in the National League this year. Like, I expect him to get, you know, be top five in MVP voting. Does he need to win the MVP? No, but he needs to. I mean, there's so much talent on this roster. Like, he doesn't need to win the MVP. Would love him to. But I think it's just fair to expect him to be a top five player in the National League this year, as he starts the season, you know, as healthy as he can possibly be. I'm expecting him to put up closer, you know, to the numbers that he put up in 2021, where he won National League MVP. What type of numbers are we talking about? Just to refresh your memory, led the majors in doubles, 42 doubles, 35 homers, 100 walks, OPS over 1,000, led the majors in OPS and slugging percentage. Like, those are the type of numbers I'm expecting Bryce Harper to come back and put up. Does he need to hit 70 home runs like Barry Bonds in 2001? No. I'm saying he needs to be among the elite league leaders in a lot of these offensive numbers, and he needs to just be one of the best players in the National League. That's just what he needs to be. You know, Bryce Harper's still in his prime. He's 31 years old. Like, this is what you're expecting from one of the best players in baseball. So Bryce needs to be one of, you know, the best players, you know, in the National League, and, you know, albeit even the sport. So that's what I'm expecting from Bryce as far as offensive numbers. And, you know, defensively, just play solid first base. Just be solid. I don't care for you to be Anthony Rizzo. I don't care for you to be Keith Hernandez. I don't care for you to be either of those guys. I just want Bryce Harper to play good first base. Solid to good first base. We're not expecting you to win a gold glove. Not expecting you to be gold glove first baseman. But who knows? You never know. And then looking at his Baseball Reference projections, though, I don't love them. And I don't know what they're going off of here, but they have him having less plate appearances than he did last year. I don't want that. 23 homers. You know, on-base percentage, fine. 388 OBP. 519 slug. 9 PS over, OPS over 900. Like, fine. But, like, I want more than 23 home runs. I want 30-plus. In that range. So I don't love the Baseball Reference projections. I'm expecting more of like, you know, 30 to 35 home runs, 400 on base, OPS over 900, you know, one of the league leaders in extra base hits. that type of thing. That's what I want Bryce to do. You know, one among the league leaders in walks. That's what we want Bryce Harper to do. And if he can do that, he's one of the best players, you know, in the National League. So don't love the baseball reference projections, but Bryce, you know, coming back here, and we need him to be one of the best players in the National League. That's just what we need him to be. Really be the leader of the Phils, especially, you know, in that clubhouse and that offense. And excited to have Bryce back and really be hopefully healthy, you know. So Bryce Harper, that's what to expect in 2024. Let me know what you think. What do you think of Bryce? What do you expect from Bryce this year in 2024? At @Rojas_media_ on Twitter. Let me know your thoughts there. Offseason update. So we actually, the Phillies actually did make a move. They signed former Detroit Tigers pitcher Spencer Turnbull. Spencer Turnbull has kind of had a, you know, weird start to his career since 2018. You know, there was a couple of years. There's 2021 where he had, you know, through nine starts, he had a 2.88 ERA, but then ends up having to get Tommy John surgery and misses the entirety of the 2022 year. And then last year, through seven starts, had a 7.26 ERA. So Turnbull's really just going to be depth purposes, just like Colby Allard was. And so they signed him to 1 year, $2 million. And according to Todd Zalecki on MLB.com, he'll open the season probably in AAA Lehigh Valley unless he makes the Phillies as a long man. But probably more of the expectation for him is to be in AAA Lehigh Valley and just to be a depth guy. So you never know. Second thing, and we already talked about this. This is an update, but we're just saying it again. 2 days until P's and C's. 2 days until pitchers and catchers, and obviously couldn't be more excited for it after football season's officially over and the NBA with Embiid. And yeah, I wasn't happy with the trade deadline. We already talked about this. So I'm just excited for pitchers and catchers to be here in just a couple of days. Spring training getting here, baby. Around Major League Baseball, few things happened since I last did an episode on Thursday. Clayton Kershaw resigns with the LA Dodgers. He's not going to be a Texas Ranger. He is an LA Dodger once again for the next couple of years. 2 years, $10 million. He's probably, you know, not going to be back until like July or August later in the season. So again, he, you know, for the money there, I can see that that makes sense for the Dodgers. 2 years, $10 million for Kershaw. So 2 years, $10 million re-signing with the LA Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw. Another thing here, we're going to stick to the National League East, even though he's technically not a part of the National League East, National League East anymore. Billy Epler suspended for the remainder of the 2024 season, even though he already quit on October 5th, I think it was, as Mets GM. So former Mets GM Billy Epler suspended for the remainder of this upcoming season for this whole Phantom IL investigation. So there was reports, and there was like anonymous, I think there was an anonymous tip to MLB that Billy Epler was basically, you know, lying about, you know, like a dozen injuries for Mets players. And apparently this happens throughout Major League Baseball all the time, but looks like the Rob Manfred and, you know, the MLB front office wants to make an example of this, since Billy Epler isn't even the GM anymore, so I guess that makes it a little more convenient. So there's some news there as far as, you know, the New York Mets go, even though he's technically not a New York Mets GM anymore, but suspended for 2024. Billy Epler is for this whole Phantom IL investigation. Congrats to Corey Kluber on retirement. Corey Kluber, the longtime Cleveland pitcher, and I believe pitched this last year in Boston and just wasn't the same. Kluber, at one point in the mid-2010s, was one of the best pitchers in baseball, won a couple of Cy Youngs, and was just an overall, it was just nasty. He won his Cy Youngs in 2014 and 2017. 2017, probably his best year, where he led the majors in ERA, 2.25, complete games, shutouts, ERA plus, whip, and a couple of other things too. Strikeouts to walk ratio. Ended up finishing top 10 MVP voting that year. So congratulations to Corey Kluber on a very good career, especially in his days in Cleveland. So I'm sure Guardians fans will never forget Kluber, and he had a great career. Another thing, National League East, small transaction here. Twins traded Nick Gordon to the Marlins for Stephen Okert. So a bit of news there as far as the National League East is concerned. Wasn't too much else that went on besides like the Kershaw deal since then. So that's all we've really had since then. So this day in Phillies history, not a whole lot here, but just a couple of things. Transactions on this day, 2020, they signed free agent Tommy Hunter. I thought we had him before that. Maybe it was we re-signed him. I guess I forget. Doesn't matter. Tommy Hunter kind of sucked. Born on this date, Jim Fogerty. Name kind of sounds familiar there. 1902, Kiddo Davis. 1912, Dutch Dietz. Some dope names here. I like it. 1918, Monk Dubiel. Oh, these are some great baseball names. Great names in general. 1965, Dennis Springer. And happy birthday to Ruben Amaro Jr. His birthday is today as well, so happy birthday to him. So make sure you go on Twitter and wish him a happy birthday. Happy birthday to Ruben Amaro Jr. So not too much has happened in this day. I mean, it's February 12th, so not a lot's going to happen on February 12th, looking back at Phillies history. So there you go. So that is going to do it for today's show. When we talk Phillies and catchers, pitchers and catchers will have reported by the time we have talked. And make sure you're staying tuned for Justin Morgenstein, Ben Kenny. They also do episodes for the channel. And we're just excited to just get closer and closer to opening day. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at @Rojas_media_. Let's get it going. Let's talk some baseball as we ramp up for the start of the season. Go make sure you're following me on Twitter. Make sure you're following WIP on Twitter for all the latest updates on everything Phillies and everything Philly sports. So that's going to do it for me, and I'll talk to you guys on Thursday.